help us lead the way.
Tell a friend.
We are WS Radio.
WSRadio.ws.
The worldwide leader in Internet talk.
Hi, this is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage, and your host today for Coping with Caregiving. Now stay tuned because we're going to be speaking with Kathleen Kelly. She is the Executive Director of Family Caregiver Alliance and its National Center on Caregiving. She has worked for more than two decades to develop programs that support family caregivers. From her knowledge of the day-to-day struggles of caregiving families to advocacy work shaping public policy, Ms. Kelly brings extensive experience and a unique perspective to discussions of caregiving issues. So stay tuned, we're going to be right back with Ms. Kathleen Kelly.
Want a unique and realistic look into the world of writing and publishing? Join Writers Workshop live every Wednesday morning from 9 to 11 a.m. Bringing together writers, publishers, agents, editors, booksellers, and anyone and everyone else in the book world, Writers Workshop is here to answer your questions, offer advice and support, and inspire you on your journey from your idea to the printed page to the bestseller list. Join me, Antoinette Kuritz, and my guests as they talk about their failures, frustrations, joys, and successes. What does it really mean when an agent tells you he loves your writing, but this manuscript doesn't meet current needs? Why should you go into every bookstore you pass and autograph every copy of your book? What's the difference between a novel that's plot-driven or character-driven, and does every book need an agent? What's the difference between genres, and how do you stay out of the slush pile? How do you get published? The answers to these and countless other questions, some of them yours, will be answered on Writer's Workshop, the first interactive internet radio show for and about writers. Join us to discuss the art, craft, and business of writing.
Let me ask you a personal question. What do you do to cleanse the vital organs of your body? Don't get asked that question every day, do you? Let me quickly tell you about an amazing product called Sea Silver. Sea Silver is the most complete health product you will ever need. That is saying a lot. Let me say it again. Sea Silver is the most complete health product you will ever need. It includes all the essential vitamins and all the natural ingredients to balance your body chemistry. Sea Silver cleanses your vital organs from your stomach, liver, kidneys, spleen, bladder, small intestines, and colon by removing the toxins in your system. Sea Silver balances your metabolism and nourishes your body at the cellular level. Best of all, Sea Silver comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. That's right. If you're not feeling better within 30 days, Sea Silver will refund your money with no questions asked. To learn more or to order, simply click on Recommended Products on the bottom left side of the website under Show Categories. Just click on the Recommended Products and go to the Sea Silver link.
Are you sick and tired of watered-down talk radio?
Right back.
Listen to WS Radio. WSRadio.ws. The worldwide leader in Internet talk.
Hi, welcome back. This is Jacqueline Marcel. And now we're going to speak with Kathleen Kelly. She is the Executive Director of Family Caregiver Alliance. You know, she oversees the programs of the National Center on Caregiving, working to advance policies and programs for caregivers throughout the United States. And she oversees the San Francisco Bay Area Caregiver Resource Center, which provides direct services to families in the Bay Area. She's also involved with California's statewide clearinghouse on brain impairments. You're looking to read better here. And caregiver assistance through California Department of Mental Health and its program of caregiver resource centers. You know, she has lectured and written extensively on caregiving, long-term care, advocacy, serving delivery, adapting information technology for use of families. Ooh, she's done a lot, this gal. Their website is caregiver.org. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you.
My goodness, what a resume you've got there, girl. So tell everybody, what is Family Caregiver Alliance?
Well, Family Caregiver Alliance is really a support organization for families and extended families who find themselves caring for somebody with a chronic impairment. I'm pleased to say we've been around for 25 years. That's why their resume sort of grows a little bit longer year by year. And we've always been focused on serving families directly with the kind of information, support, and services that they need, and also learning from families through their experiences and collectively being able to use the information then to advocate on their behalf in the state legislatures and really to provide funding and services on a broader scale, and conduct research, you know, on the kinds of issues that families are facing, and in turn educate the public and policymakers and other professionals about the needs of family caregivers.
That's all you're doing?
That's all we're doing. We're a sort of unusual organization because we do embody the service components to families.
That's
and we
fantastic.
Also do use that as a sort of a launching pad for larger work.
Fantastic. You know, so who uses your services? Everyone from the family, the physician, all the way down, professionals all the way.
Absolutely. We have a fairly broad array of audiences, as you can well imagine. But our heart and soul really is in working with individual families, and we focus on that, both on the in the regional level here in the San Francisco Bay Area, but not to dismiss that we get contacted by families across the country, actually internationally, because of our website, which has been up since 1996, and through our toll-free number as well. So we do talk to families throughout the nation.
Let's give out the toll-free number.
That's 800-445-8106. And I think you did announce our website is www.caregiver.org.
Right. Now, let's define, what is a caregiver?
Well, gee, you know, I think nowadays, if you're really talking with your friends or family, you find out almost everybody has been touched by this issue. And in fact, you know, it's been estimated that one in four families are really providing care for somebody. So it can be anybody. Oddly enough, when you're in your social circle or talking with this and with your work colleagues. But typically, a caregiver is a woman. The usual estimates are around 60 to 70%, and the age is dropping. Having the benefit of the sort of the longer range view of working in this field for a while, what's been interesting is that really it's becoming daughters and daughters-in-law, really adult children, that are assuming more and more of the role just simply because the demographics are shifting. So I would say a typical caregiver is, you know, somebody who is under the age of 60, under the age of 65 by and large, and is female, and more than likely is going to be in the workforce.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think the biggest stresses are for the caregivers?
Well, caregivers have faced many stresses. Obviously, there is just the whole emotional stress of finding yourself in the situation with your loved one. That can be quite devastating, depending, you know, obviously, it can be very sudden, as in the case of having someone that has a stroke or a heart attack, or it can be a gradual kind of impairment that comes on with the example of being, say, of Alzheimer's disease. So there's the emotional stress, obviously, of finding a changed personality in one of your family members or friends, and having to deal with all of the emotional coping around, you know, the kind of loss of some of the functioning that person or independence that person may have. If you do become a full-time caregiver and live close by, or the person lives in the home, obviously there's a lot of other emotional components that go along with that, and that is, there can be a sense of isolation because you're, you know, having to divide up your time and caring for one-on-one. Not to say that there are not benefits and wonderful experiences that you do have as a caregiver that really do fulfill the kind of honorable bonds that people have to one another. But it can also be a very isolating experience because you think you're the only one, and of course you're not.
That's the way I felt. I was the only person in the world that could possibly be going through this horror.
Absolutely. And that's why we always say, please reach out, if to a support group, either face-to-face or in the online community, or to reach out to professionals and give yourself permission to really talk about your caregiving situation with your family and friends, too. Often we don't give ourselves permission to do that.
Right. You know, I want to talk about the public policy because I know you're very involved with that. You know, what are some of the new developments in the national and the state going on with for caregivers?
Well, there's two things that come to mind. One is, of course, we did have the first federal recognition of the issues of family caregiving with the passage and enactment of the National Family Caregiver Support Program This has been in implementation now for about the past year and a half, but because it's been a new program, I think it might be something that is still noteworthy because it's a lot of programs are still getting off the ground, the local communities around the country. This is funds that really mimic very similar kinds of functions that we have been doing in the state of California and a few states across the country, and that is to provide a central access point for information and referral, and to provide the counseling and consultation and respite services and linkages to other community support services. This is money that comes from the Administration on Aging, and for someone seeking out information about this particular program, they would want to contact what's called an area agency on aging in their local community. And there's many, many places to find a list of what might be an area agency in your local community on the World Wide Web. So that's one of it's a very modest program, I might add, in terms of its funding. It was
but it's a start. We're getting started.
It's about $125 million. It's gone up a slightly with a slight higher appropriation, so it's up over $130 million now. But considering the scope of the problem and the magnitude, you can see it's fairly
modest. Yeah,
drop
in the bucket, yeah.
But it's a step.
We'll take it.
Yes, it will take it, and for many states, what this means is the first time that they've had some money in which to examine and work with a problem. There is also an interesting piece of legislation that's working its way through California. I make mention of this because if it does pass in California, it will make California the first state in the country to actually provide some payment for persons that are taking family leave to take care of somebody with an illness.
Wouldn't that be great?
And that would be a landmark piece of legislation to get passed. As everybody probably is aware, that there is some family leave on the federal level. There is an act passed, and it has some limitations in terms of size of employer and so on. But what it doesn't provide is any source of payment. So what we find is families really don't take paid leave if they work in a place where they might be entitled to that. So what this particular bill does is that it provides a very modest employee-based payment system. So individuals can take up to 6 weeks. It's not your full pay, but it's something. And
people get behind that and help?
Well, right now the bill is going to be landing on the governor's desk in California, and there is going to be a fairly significant lobbying effort to get him to sign it. It has gotten passed through both houses in the legislature in the state, and so we're very excited to see it go to the governor's desk.
You think he will sign it?
I'm hope he will sign it because this really makes a statement about the need and recognition that in the workplace in particular, families are feeling particularly pinched by the co-equal demands of work and caregiving.
That's right. Oh, gosh, let's hope for that goes through.
Mm-hmm.
Women, we talked before that women are traditionally been the caregivers, but you're saying that there's other factors that are affecting that now?
Well, of course, there's always a factor of women marrying and having children later. And so those that might be in their late 40s and early 50s who might have in years past been freed of their child-raising responsibilities because their kids are off to college or have, gotten out of the home and so on, may be faced with younger children juggling all those kinds of demands.
Starting menopause. Oh, my gosh. Young children, older parents, and menopause at once?
Yes, we didn't talk about that as part part of the emotional stress. But all of those things, all those factors. And, of course, there's just many, many more women in the workplace, too.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, again, that's all those juggling of those various demands and roles.
So the bottom line is don't do it alone. Reach out. There are resources if you will reach out for them.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is a situation that I think has been a little bit in the closet, but now people are beginning, it's really become part of the public vernacular. And it's really important for people to reach out and seek the kind of help and support that are typically in most communities across the country.
So what's the best thing? Somebody calls you, they're crying, they're coping with caregiving, and what kind of resources would you advise someone when you get that call? What can somebody expect when they call?
Mostly, what's interesting is that when people call, It's the first place. We often get the feedback. It's the first place that someone has taken the time to listen to their situation and to really understand what it is that they're going through. And what we try to do, even on the first call, is to sort of tease out what might be the issues that can be dealt with today and what might be the issues that you need to deal with tomorrow. Because it can seem like an overwhelming, big, huge issue, but we try to break it down into the smaller pieces so you can tackle them one at a time. And we do get quite a few calls of people that are in distress, in really deep emotional distress.
Not thinking clearly anyway, and they're in such crisis, and they've got to deal with the insurance and elder-proofing the house, and they've got, like, if they have somebody like my dad who's screaming and yelling and throwing them out of the house, and the emotional thing, and then the financial burden, it's overwhelming.
Absolutely. So I say we try to break down what we can deal with today and what we need to deal with tomorrow, because you have to sort through how everybody can work through these issues one at a time, and you know, really the timing is everything in some regards, is to, you know, see what it is that people need to do immediately too. Sometimes it helps to talk to someone outside of the family situation who can be a little bit more objective and clear-headed mm-hmm. about what's going on. And I liken to it to be sitting around the kitchen table with you know, good friends who understand your situation but are not totally involved in the situation, so they can stand back and say, but have you ever thought about doing, you know, approaching the problem this way? So I like to think of it as, you know, having a phone conversation around the kitchen table with us first off.
That is great. You know, gosh, I wish somebody had referred me to you guys when I was going through it, because I don't know, you know, I just was so overwhelmed with so many details to try to figure out. And then when you've got an obstinate elder,
yeah.
You know, then once I finally got, well, you know, do this, 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 and this, and then I couldn't get him to do it, this, 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 or this. He wouldn't do those things. Now what do I do?
Of course, so you're having being a good daughter, and no one's paying attention.
Nobody's paying attention to me.
I understand.
So it would have been so nice to have somebody, you know, and I tell all the professionals I talk to, you know, hug that adult child and give them a hug. Nobody's hugged them lately.
Yeah.
They're really going through such turmoil. Boy, oh boy, gosh. Well, what you're doing is just incredible. We've just got about a minute left. Anything else you want to tell people?
Well, I think your point about really reaching out and seeking help for those persons who are watching this in their families, who might be of a younger generation, there really is still time to plan, and I think that's very important, is to really, we plan somewhat for retirement. These are all also the kinds of things that people ought to be looking forward, not forward to, obviously, in the same sense, but be in a mindset that they may confront these issues themselves in the future, and to really get acquainted with the issue and to make your own preferences and values known is a really wonderful help to your family. It's one of the best gifts you can give your family, is to think through some of these issues for yourself and make it known to your family. It helps them enormously in terms of their own emotional issues,
sure.
Should they have to make decisions for you.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
Well, very nice to meet you and speak with you, Kathleen.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
This is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage. Please check out ElderRage.com for some more valuable resources for you. Please remember to join us here every Saturday for Coping with Caregiving from 3 to 5 p.m. that specific time. And don't forget, you can listen online anytime. Now stay tuned, because coming up next, we're going to be speaking with Rich O'Boyle. He's the founder and publisher of some more great websites for you.
Help us lead the way.
Tell a friend.
We are WS Radio.
WSRadio.ws.
The worldwide leader in internet talk.
The Fly Mike Company has designed and manufactured sportswear clothing since the early days of paragliding and hang gliding. A German firm, the Fly Mike, got its start in innovation from hands-on paragliding pilot Mike Lieberman. Cold alpine winter flying demanded a functional and affordable flight suit, Today, the Fly Mite Flight Suit Company is one of the major suppliers to worldwide paragliding and hang gliding pilots seeking affordable and value-oriented flight suits, jackets, and sports apparel for warmth, comfort, and protection. Make your next flight with Fly Mite.